This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 13 for February 28th, 2006, Mashups. MacArthur, how are you?
I'm great, Leo. How are you doing?
What's the weather like in Toronto?
You know, it's finally getting cold, which is odd.
It's finally getting cold?
I know. We've had a really mild winter, and now, you know, it's almost March, and the cold weather is coming.
Hey, at least it's not snowing.
You left at a good time, Leo.
Yes, it usually is. I always seem to escape just when the winter begins or the snow begins. But spring is just around the corner, Amber. So
before
we get into our conversation about mashups, which will be, it's going to be quite interesting. We've got Michael Arrington and Taylor McKnight. But first, just wanted to get your reaction on Apple's announcements today.
Well, I think I felt this. I feel the same way as a lot of other people feel. You know, I wasn't that impressed. I would have to agree that, you know, they had to come out with some of these products, but it wasn't as jazzy as I might have expected it to be.
No whizzy new iPod or anything like that.
No new iPod. But, yeah. You know, again, I think you're right. You know, it's not a good time for the new iPod to come out.
Yeah, let the old one sell for a while. I have to say, I like the Mini. If you don't think of it as just another computer, which of course it is. I mean, but it's a little more expensive than the old Mini. It starts at $600, but if you think of it as a media center PC, it's really very slick. And the idea that you can have a media center PC that if somebody comes into your house and they're running iTunes on Windows or Mac, you can play the music that's on there. You can play the video that's on there. If you have any other computers in the house, you can see photos from iPhoto. It's, you know, even, you know, the photo casting feature in iPhoto iLife 6 works too, I was told. So if you're photo casting photos to me, I could sit down at my TV with my Mini hooked up and I could see them. And so all of that's pretty, I mean, all of that, you're right. It's not, I wasn't jazzed and excited and sexy, but I have to say this is, I think, a much needed and important part of Apple's strategy to get in the living room. I mean, they're really there now.
And that's really cool.
The speakers are kind of silly. If you listen to them, you know, Steve in his keynote, he said, in his speech, he said, "These speakers are so good. You know, I'm a real audiophile. I've spent, well, I don't even want to tell you how much I've spent on speakers, but I'm getting rid of my very expensive audio system and replacing them with this iPod Hi-Fi." And I thought, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Let's wait outside for the Rebel speakers to come flying out the window. I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he'll put them on the sidewalk and I can come by and pick them up.
Da. But I think really, if you listen to them, I mean, they're okay. They're bigger, more room filling than the Bose. I don't know if they're any better or more room filling than in your IM7, the Altec Lansing boombox.
Oh, I love the IM7. Yeah, that's a great boombox. I borrowed it from, we had it in the office, and I borrowed it to take it home this weekend because
I heard you had it at your party.
Yes, I had a little party, and I had it there, and I think I disturbed the neighbors enough that I might have to bring it back to work.
And it's just a little boombox, and that's $100 less than the Apple device, I think, isn't it? It's $150, $180. No, maybe it's more. Maybe it's $250.
I think it's a little bit more. I think it's went down in price, but I think maybe close to $200.
Yeah, and the Apple's $359 for these speakers, and the sound is fine on pop and rock, but you listen to it on classical, and I just really don't think it has the high-end response, the openness that they're claiming for it, you know, like, oh, this sounds so good. But hey, it's just a Mac accessory, you know.
Yes,
it's nothing to jump up and down about. And I do think the Mini was important. Now, and Steve pointed out, now about 60% of the Mac line has now moved over to Intel. All that's left is the iBook and the Towers.
Oh, wow!
So they're getting close.
Fast.
Yeah, no kidding. So let's talk a little bit about mashups. This is a kind of a hot and happening thing on the internet right now. And who do we have to talk about mashups with?
Well, we're very lucky. We had Michael Arrington on a while ago from TechCrunch.com, and that is an amazing site that does reviews of a lot of these Web 2.0 services and sites that are out there. And he knows a lot about mashups, and he was nice enough to join us to talk a little bit about it. And we'll also be joined by Taylor McKnight from PodBop, and they won an award at Mashup Camp, which happened just last week in San Francisco.
I guess the first thing we should do is ask Michael, you know, what is a mashup?
Well, at the very least, it's taking a third-party web service, which is just something, you know, it's just a service like Google Maps is one of the most used examples, and putting something on top of it. I think most mashups would combine a couple of different web services, but at the very least, you're taking some sort of service provided by a third party and doing something interesting with it on top of that, and that would probably qualify as a mashup. So you take Google Maps and you add in, you know, relevant information about local crime or, you know, local businesses or things like that, and put it on top of the map and provide a new service like that. And that would be a mashup.
Wait, do you remember the first time you saw one?
Probably the first time I saw something called an actual mashup, you know, some early stuff was going on with Amazon. I mean, way back.
They were the first to offer this kind of API and the ability to use it, you know, freely, weren't they? Or was it Google?
I don't know who the... I mean, web services goes way, way back.
But exposing your internal information to the outside world is pretty new, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Amazon and Google in particular were the first to really popularize this, especially last year. Mm-hmm. With Amazon, you know, book information and other product information, and then again, Google Maps, which is hugely popular, and you can do so many great things with it around real estate and other things. So,
what's the incentive to do a mashup from the point of view of an Amazon or a Google?
You mean to provide the web service?
Yeah.
I think it's not an incentive; it's a must do at this point. So, if you think about Google Maps, they have some pretty big competitors with Microsoft and Yahoo. I even think Yahoo Maps is arguably a better product in many ways than Google Maps. And to maintain or to create a lead, they need to open up that service so that other people can use it and do interesting things with it, or else their competitors will. And so to maintain a sort of a lead in the space, they have to open it up to a third party. And I think the way to think about this is to stop thinking about, and what I try to do is stop thinking about a website as sort of a standalone entity and think of it as part of an ecosystem. And so if you think about google.com as a search engine, that's fine where you go there to do searching, but it's much more interesting to think of google.com as simply a front end to the Google API, the Google Search API, and that Google Search API pushes itself to both google.com but also countless other websites where people can integrate Google Search into their product. So the one of the incentives is just to stay relevant, but the other incentive is I think there is an opportunity to make money here, and not many companies yet are trying to make money off of their APIs, but they're all being very careful with putting different types of restrictions on what can be done with it, I think, so they can reserve the right to do things in the future with it. And we have seen some instances where companies are starting, especially Amazon with their Alexa and some of their other web services, Mechanical Turk, are starting to start to charge.
Or as Chris Parnell and Andy Samberg would say, Google Maps is the best. True that. Double true.
So, Michael, what do you think one of the first mashups was to, you know, really popularize the term?
Well, it goes back to Google Maps, and I'm trying to think of the particular site that first started mashing up Google Maps.
The first one I saw was that Craigslist one. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's it. That's the first one that I really like. So the Craigslist with the Google Maps, where you start to put classified ad information, along with the map information. There's a site called, I think it's Trulio, which is relatively new, but it puts real estate listings from agents, alongside a Google Map, and that's again hugely valuable. So things like that, I think, you know, provide a lot of value. The Mechanical Turk web service, which I think you guys are familiar with because I think we spoke about it the last time I was on one of your podcasts, is really interesting, although it hasn't taken off yet, but it's where you sort of take people doing things that a service wants them to do and plugs it into an API so that a machine can understand what the results that those people have created And so it's really neat. And you can think about things like translation services or just any kind of human task that a computer isn't really good at yet. And then their service converts the results of that into something a computer can use. It's
now is that
cool.
That's an Amazon product, isn't it? I mean, it's not. So it's not strictly a mashup in this. I mean, they're mashing their own.
It's a web service, so people can then mash that up with other things and create a mashup. If that makes sense.
Yes,
I think it makes sense.
It's a mashup starter kit.
Yeah. So sometimes what I'm most interested in, I mean, the mashups themselves are really cool, but what I'm most interested in is seeing the building blocks of the mashups to see what people can create. So whenever a new service comes out that I review, one of the things I ask is, do you have an API for this? Is it an open API? Yeah. Are there any restrictions? Because I want to know what kind of mashups can be created from this new service.
It's interesting because it's in stark opposition to the other content creators like the music industry and who hate mashups, who are trying to stop mashups, and the movie industry. They say, oh, this is a terrible idea. Fan films, kill them. These web services, these online sites, I guess they get it, that it's good for them to have these kinds of mashups.
They sometimes do. A lot of times they'll have a fully open API, but then they'll put license restrictions on the use of it. Technorati, for instance, I think limits the number of queries you can do against a search engine to 500 a day.
That may just be defensive, though, right? I mean,
it's because they don't want. If they opened it up and didn't have any kind of restriction on it, then somebody could create a new Technorati, right. and actually compete with Technorati using their own back end. But what they need to do is if they're going to have restrictions, I think very quickly they need to find a way to have those restrictions removed by doing revenue share or charging or something so that they'll stay relevant.
And it seems to me, just from looking at the list of people who recently were at Mashup Camp, I mean, it's amazing how many people are doing these mashups. They call themselves mashup enablers, developers, and it really has become a business.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many mashups themselves are actually businesses.
Frapper looks like it's making money, I have to say. Frapper looks like they're doing, I mean, they've got ads all over it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, and certainly, I mean, generating page views and ads is a good thing, but it's going to be hard when you're reliant on a third-party service, yeah. Especially when it has restrictions to do something. One of the sessions at Mashup Camp, again, which I wasn't there, but I read some notes on it, was by Jeff Clavier and Peter Ripp, two VCs, and they talked about, how to mash people create mashups to raise money for these services, and what they said was basically don't even try. It's going to be very, very difficult to turn these into real businesses, but they're great resume builders, and so you can take something you've created and it shows how good you are as a hacker, and the guy that created Grease Monkey, for instance, was hired by Google, and so Grease Monkey is hugely popular and very useful and all that, but it'd be very hard to build a business around it. But the guy has done very well because he's now at Google. So
are these mostly written in JavaScript and Ajax, or C? I mean, or is there any common ground at all?
Well, so that's an interesting question. So there's you have to access the API. You create the web application usually using PHP and whatever front end, Ajax you want, Ajax and HTML, whatever you want. But you have to access the API of the service provider. And that can be as simple as filling out a web form or something much more complicated. And that's where I think there's real opportunity, is I think that businesses are being formed right now, because I've met some of the founders, although they're all being very quiet, to become middlemen between the API or the service provider and the ultimate service that's created or the mashup. And the things that need to be done is there needs to be a common sort of front end to access these web services. And there's a huge opportunity there to create something where, instead of a Google Maps issuing their own API, to issue it according to the specifications of the middleman would be very useful, as well as somebody to charge. So allowing Technorati to say, okay, you have 500 queries per day limit is fine, but if they start to charge, allowing somebody to collect that money and to transfer it to the web service provider would be really useful. And I think there is a real business there and a fundable business. And in fact, I know there is. And it'll be interesting seeing those come out.
So. Just as the web has disintermediated, all of a sudden we're back to intermediation, huh?
Yeah, but you need to speak a common language. So right now everybody speaks their own language and you have to learn their language in order to integrate with it. If you have somebody in the middle that can translate those languages into one thing, it'd be sort of interesting. So. Yeah.
So this might be a good time for us to introduce Taylor McKnight from PodBop. And they won first place at Mashup Camp. I guess they had a bunch of people submit for the prize of the best mashup, and PodBop won. So congratulations, Taylor.
Thanks a lot.
And can you tell us a little bit about what PodBop is?
Well, like you guys were talking about mashups before, PodBop takes EVDB's API, and EVDB is short for events and venue database. And we take their concert data and we match it up with our own database of MP3s and bands. And we kind of deliver a city-centric view of what's going on in your town musically, and you can hear all those bands playing.
What was it, Michael, do you think the judges like about PodBop? Did you get any insight?
No, but I wrote about it.
What do you like about PodBop?
I wrote a couple weeks ago.
We love your review, by the way.
Thank you.
Taylor, what do you like about TechCrunch?
Actually, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Actually, when I was staying on stage accepting the award, I was yelling out your name because I wanted to thank you. I was looking for you the whole conference.
Michael!
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard about that from my trip in Israel.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
No, hey, thanks. I love that. Nothing like yelling out that you love TechCrunch to 400 people.
That's awesome.
I'll make sure I send you the check that I owe you. But what I liked about it immediately was that I actually use it. I mean, I'm always looking for bands that I like or bands that I might like and wanting to go see local music. It's a passion of mine is seeing live music. And what they do is you're able to say, look, I live in San Francisco, and send me a feed of all of the new concerts coming through town. And it sends me a feed, and it has the data, the feed being like an RSS feed that I can then get into my RSS reader like blog lines. It sends me all the information. But the cool thing is it also sends me an MP3 file of the band.
Wow.
If it's available.
Wow.
And so I can listen to the music, and so if I don't know who they are, I can listen to the music and go, that's somebody I want to see. And especially for smaller bands that I haven't heard of, you know, that's really cool. And I think it's going to be hugely useful for me, but also for small bands. I mean, you know, to get the word out and get their music distributed, that's a big deal. You know, everybody talks about how bands and labels want to restrict the sharing of music, but actually the vast majority of bands are unknown, and they want nothing more than to get people listening their music online. And so a service like this is great, and I think there is a business around it. If they get a lot of subscribers, you know, this is a place for the bands and the labels and people who like that are going to want to come and advertise and do things. So I think it deserved a win.
What a clever idea. How'd you come up with this, Taylor?
It was really a scratch and itch kind of thing. Like Michael said, I'm really into concerts as well, and there are so many concerts that come through my town of bands that I've never heard of, and I had this idea one day during lunch to make it a lot easier.
And
so it sounds so simple.
How long did it take for you to create it?
I was demoing it at Mashup Camp, and my kind of competitors, I guess, were displaying, you know, all these graphs and different screenshots, and it was really hard to understand, and there's really not much to it.
It's very simple looking, but that's the power of it.
Which is kind of the strong point. You know,
yeah.
You go there and you get it, and it's useful right away.
Where do you get the music from? Do the labels give it to you? The bands give it to you? How do you get that?
A lot of labels and bands themselves host pretty much all the MP3s we have on here are hosted on their own sites.
So you go to Eventful, you get the band name, and then do you go look for the music?
Well, right now, I mean, it's in our database,
okay.
Which has pretty much so far been manually created,
me
and a couple of friends. since the publicity with Mashup Camp, a bunch of labels and artists and stuff have been coming to us.
Cool.
So, you know, the bigger our database grows, the more useful it's going to be.
So Taylor, so go ahead, Michael.
Well, how long did it take for you to create it?
We worked on it. Daniel Westerman Clark and I both worked full time at University of Florida, and this was kind of a part time fun gig. And it was about 4 months.
Ooh, that's because you wrote it Perl, dude.
Yeah,
you got move Ruby on Rails, baby.
Yeah, Daniel loves Perl, so I let him do his thing.
It must be one of the few mashups written in Perl, actually.
I think there were like three or four. I mean, out of like 30 there. So yeah,
it works.
Definitely in the minority.
Hey, it gets the job done.
Yeah, true.
I'm just curious about something because I was, you know, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, this is great. I know that I'm going to love this service because I am also a big fan of live music. And then I saw the big map that it says, you know, U.S. cities only. And, you know, living in Toronto, I was hoping that it did have some Toronto listings. But you do have Toronto listings as well. And I don't know if you have other cities in Canada. Or are you planning to expand?
Actually, and this is kind of my own shortcoming. I guess I was a little U.S.-centric when I thought about this.
I see the map on the front.
It says recent U.S. cities searched.
Yeah.
So I didn't make it painfully clear that the entire world really is supported. So you type in London and bands come up.
So the event database has all sorts of stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. We support any event that's in Eventful. Yeah.
That's great because I know it listed a bunch of bands that were playing in Toronto. A band called Metric was playing this last Friday night. I had no idea they were coming to town, and then I listened to some of the music and I remembered them from a while ago, and it was great. I mean, it just it's really cool because just like Michael said, you get to sample some of the music right there on the spot, and if you haven't heard of them before, you can decide if it's worth going out with some of your friends and checking them out.
Taylor, have you received any job offers since the award?
Not really.
But you're happily employed, we should say.
Yeah, so. Well, actually, after Mashup Camp, I hung out at the Eventful offices for a few days. Uh-huh. So what's really cool about working with the Eventful API, we're very hands-on with their API developers. So if I have a question, I'll ask them. If they have any ideas that they think PodBop could benefit from, they'll talk to us. Mm. So we're pretty close-knit, and they're definitely behind us and supporting us.
What are your plans for any expansion of the service at all? Because I'm sure that's next thing on your mind over your next lunch.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. I never considered this, a moneymaker or a serious thing up until Mashup Camp, when everybody's first question was, how are you going to make money off of this?
I hate it when they ask us that.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah, I seriously, I was like, I don't know. Ads, maybe, eventually.
Yeah, but here there's lots of ways to make money off this particular mashup, and you should be going to, actually the RSS aggregator should be coming to you and asking, look, once a new user signs up and they find out what city they live in, they should be proposing this as an automatic feed. And I don't know if they should be paying you for that, but just getting that kind of exposure and getting this in tens of thousands of people using it, you can start to create all kinds of revenue opportunities, both advertising the feed, doing special promotions with bands and labels and things like that. I think there are ways to make money with this.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm pretty excited to see where this takes us.
One thing you don't do that Eventful does, and I would love to see, is with the RSS feed, is an iCal feed as well, so I could put it into my mm-hmm. calendar. You got any plans to do something like that?
Well, I mean, the kind of
Eventful does it, but they do the entire database, so I don't care who's playing in New Zealand at the moment. So,
it would be easy enough to link an iCal music calendar for your city. I don't know if I don't use iCal. Do they? Can you listen to MP3s within that application?
No, and that's kind of key to what you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we supply the podcast feed.
Right, right. That's why you're
we're
called
not trying to step
pod...
on Eventful's toes too much.
Right, right.
Probably a good idea. So, Taylor, I know you're at Mashup Camp. What other services, mashups, did you see that you thought were kind of interesting?
Well, obviously Chicago Crime, who got second place. Like, that application just blows me away. I mean, he adds more and more things every time I go back to there. Tagcloud.com was a really cool one that uses Yahoo's keyword API. And, I mean, you're aware of tag clouds, I'm sure.
Yep.
You'll dump your blog URL in there and they'll extract keywords and build you a tag cloud without you having to go in and tag all your old entries.
That's cool. Remember I made you those t-shirts last week from Snapshirts that they do the same thing. They then pull those tag clouds and print them onto a t-shirt. So it doesn't end just there. Yeah.
That's a really cool idea.
I have my tag cloud mouse pad. I love it. Yeah.
Taylor, was Beer Hunter there?
Who?
Beer Hunter.
Beer Hunter.
Beer Hunter. I don't think so.
Amber and Leo, have you guys heard of them?
I've seen it, but you showed it, Amber. I can't remember where I saw it.
Yeah, they're Canadian, I think.
Yeah, that's what.
It's beerhunter.ca, and it's a mashup of, I think it's Google Maps with or it's a map of
where
some
you
kind.
Can get beer
and
in
the
Toronto.
Liquor control. It's the liquor control board of Ontario, so you can figure out what, you know, if, what liquor stores, if any, are open around you. So it's kind of funny.
That's great.
I'm thinking we looked at that after hours, Amber, not on the TV show. I'm thinking I might be wrong.
You might be right. You know, a lot of people use that service. You know, jokes aside, it is very popular here, as I'm sure you can imagine.
But,
It's another thing that, you know, a lot of these mashups, as you said again, Michael, it's just they're useful. You know, all of a sudden you have the best of, you know, two worlds or three worlds all combined into one service.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to underscore that again, that by not being so tight-fisted with their content, everybody is winning here. There's great innovation, and the web just is blossoming with this great creativity. And meanwhile, people have to crack DVDs. And, you know, and steal music because the record companies and movie companies just don't see the benefit. Okay, I'll get off my high horse now.
I agree.
No, I agree too.
But look at the difference. I mean, it's just obvious.
I'm really hoping that, you know, with things like PodBop, it'll help record companies kind of get it, you know, that really the internet's a great medium to use to get.
No, forget the record companies. Forget the record companies. Things like PodBop, and if you think about how popular this could be in a couple of years when you have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people using this, it allows bands to bypass the record companies entirely. I mean, the reason why you need a record company or a label today is to get the marketing exposure so that you can become popular. But things like MySpace and your site and other things on the internet are allowing bands to go directly to the consumer, and if they're good, to get popular without labels backing them. And I think that it's a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Like Pandora. Pandora is a good example of that as well.
Yeah, Pandora's great.
Yeah. Yep.
They're a little more human-powered than us.
Right. A lot. Very intensive, in fact.
Yeah, isn't there like a couple dozen people listening to music every day?
I think
day?
More than that. They have a big staff doing that. Taylor, not to get personal, but I'm looking at your icon on Skype here, and you look like you're about 14. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Okay. from my vantage point, that's not much difference between 14 and 22. One of the things, though, that it brings to mind, I've always said that the really innovative stuff won't be done on the internet until a generation that has grown up with the internet starts to play with it. And this is a really perfect example. I mean, this is mashups are like cooking. It's taking two disparate ingredients, putting it together and making something exciting and new. And it's not the old folks who thought of this. We just thought it was a brochure or a magazine or a TV show or a radio. And it took an internet generation to really come up with something really new and innovative.
And Michael, you mentioned a site to me, I think, when we were chatting on email last night where you can get a list of a bunch of mashups. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's John Muser, and it's
programmableweb.com.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a member of my web tool work group, and he's got a hell of a resource. It's like Taylor said, it's programmableweb.com, and he has a lot of APIs and mashups listed. So
that's what you need. If you want to do a mashup, you need an API. It's hard to go find these. Or, as you said, maybe, Michael, an intermediary.
Well, yeah, so I think this is actually the first step. I mean, just creating a directory of APIs is a good first step and for developers to see what, you know, to go out there and see what's available. But the next step is to build services on top of that to make it easier for developers to create and also to pay.
Had you been an eventful user, Taylor? Is that where it started?
Yeah. I actually did a review a couple months ago before we started the whole pop-up thing about concert calendars and how they were lacking. And Eventful came out in like September. And I fell in love with it and then kind of seemed like the natural thing to do as far as when I had this idea.
And just to show you how fast this stuff happens, PodBop came out January 4th. I mean, it's 5 weeks old, 6 weeks old. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really impressed and lucky how many people have heard about it already.
Just a baby in the mashup world.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Taylor.
No problem.
Congratulations. It's great.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, may you mash many more ups or something.
And let us know about them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to be at South by Southwest, so oh, cool. If anybody wants to meet or talk or anything,
I'll be there.
Look for
me. Got it. Yeah. I'll be there. It'd be nice to meet you in person.
Awesome.
I think Amber, you should be going to South by Southwest.
Yeah, you know what? I think I am going to go, Leo. No,
good.
I think
definitely
I
should.
Yeah, I think I am going to go. I just was talking to some people from work about this today. So.
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah. I think I'll be there as well. So you guys make sure you say hi. And Michael, maybe we can actually meet face to face.
That'll be cool. So, you guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure,
yeah,
Michael.
Thanks so much.
Have a great evening. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Taylor.
Thanks, Taylor.
So long. That's really neat. You know, you look at somebody like Taylor, young guy with a really clever idea, and it's just really exciting to me to see this happening.
Yeah, I think he needs to hire Michael to help his PR.
Well, that's one thing, and I have to give Michael Arrington great credit. I mean, he has become, TechCrunch has become the go-to blog to find out what's happening in the Web 2.0 space. I mean, he really is on top of it, and it's getting better and better and better all the time.
I know. It's getting it's so good. I mean, I'm the same as you. I go there all the time, yeah. And it just has the latest information. He updates it a lot. And, you know, he's sort of bang on with all of his reviews of all these different services. So as soon as he says something's good, I immediately want to go there and review it, test it out, and try it out as well.
Right. And he's pretty wired. So he seems to have an inside action with all of this stuff. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, he seems to be at all these conferences and talking to all these guys. And, you know, in some ways, he's really helping them launch their mashups or Web 2.0 services because, you know, once they get there, then they get kind of the audience. And so that's really cool as well.
So when is South by Southwest? Is it soon?
I think it starts on March 10th, and it runs for about a week. And I know so many people are going to be there. I think Tim Westergren from Pandora is going to be there. A lot of the people we've talked to will be down there. So every time I turn around, another person's going. So I'm going to try to definitely, as I mentioned, make it down there.
Bring a recorder, and maybe that will be we'll do Inside the Net from South by Southwest, because there's a lot of – I know it was a mostly music conference, but now it's really become multimedia and web as well, huh?
It really has. There's a lot. I think they even have web awards. They have, you know, all of these. It's really sort of, you know, new media type of events and companies who seem to be attending it.
Cool. Well, make sure you check out our special Mac Break edition from the Big Apple announcement today. It should be out in the next couple of hours. Alex Lindsay is editing like crazy to get that out. It's not high def, but it will have coverage. We have a video of Steve's keynote. We've got interviews with Apple people and the press, too, about these new Apple announcements. That's at MacBreak.com or on iTunes. We'll also put an announcement up on twit.tv. And don't forget Command N, everybody's favorite video podcast. Amber and Mike, what your next edition's coming out in a couple of days. Do you know what you're going to be doing?
Well, we just released a new episode last night.
A special.
And, you know, usually we try to release on Sunday nights or Monday nights. And this was from the Linux Cafe.
Oh, cool.
So that was here in Toronto. And Jeff did a segment from the East Coast about external hard drives. So another fun episode. And we'll keep coming back every week for it.
That's right. I get confused because I know when you run off to tape it, and then I forget you have to produce it as well. It's a lot more work involved than just going out and taping it.
It's a full weekend of work.
It is. Our good thanks to our friends at AOL Radio for broadcasting this show and providing us the bandwidth so we can bring it to you in each and every Tuesday. Learn more at AOLmusic.com. For Amber MacArthur, I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time, Inside the Net.